This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. Who am I? Where do I belong? What makes me worthy? Now, these questions, they often start perhaps in adolescence or young adulthood, but they never really go away, do they? Who am I? Where do I belong? What makes me worthy? And we often look for the answers to these questions in all the wrong places. We might look for them in our roles, our role as a parent or a spouse, our role as a son or a daughter. We might look for the answer to these questions in our work, right? It's my vocation who tells me who I am. My job tells me that I'm worthy. I belong to this particular profession. Or we might look for the answer to these questions in our peer groups. Sometimes in not such a great way. Well, compared to so-and-so's life, I'm doing pretty good. We might look for the answers to these questions in our accomplishments, our achievements, our things that we possess. We also have expectations, don't we? Right, I think as we grow up, we sort of have expectations that we start to develop. This is how life is supposed to go. And when those expectations aren't met, whether it be in our personal life or collectively as a corporate body, we start looking for something or someone to fix it, right? To get us out of this mess. It's January, after all, the self-help month of the year, right? And Barnes & Noble has this whole section about self-help. I love Barnes & Noble, by the way. This is not a criticism. But they have this whole section about self-help. Probably the most popular section right now. Got to find a way to fix it. Got to find a way to get out of this mess. But I found it interesting that the section for religion's on a completely other side of the store. I was like, no. These things about following Jesus, they should be over here with the self-help. Right? But then, of course, there's the many challenges, just like that section of the bookstore with voices that saying, I have the answer. You want to know who you are? You want to know, do you belong? You want to know if you're worthy? I have the answer. So how do we discern? How do we discern the truth? The hope of someone who can lead us out of our current difficulties is a recurrent theme throughout human history and experience. We see it here in the United States in particular. We see it during election seasons, right? When nations are at war or when the economy isn't doing so good, we're like, we need somebody to get us out of this mess. Well, it wasn't so different for those who found themselves standing along the Jordan River. They were looking for someone to get them out of this mess. It wasn't so different for those who were standing along the Jordan River to meet this man, this prophet that they'd heard about named John. And they wondered if John was that person who was going to fix it. Was John that one who was going to get them out of this mess? And it even tells us, because all the people, they were filled with expectations. This must be the one. They were filled with expectation, and they were questioning in their hearts concerning this man, John, whether he might be the Messiah. He was the one that was coming to save us. But John points them to someone else. And he calls this person someone more powerful than I. And he will baptize you, yes, but he will baptize you with not only water, but with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now, fire is that natural element which both destroys things and purifies. So if that's the truth, then what does it mean to be put on fire? If fire both destroys and purifies, what in us needs to be burned? Our egos? Our self-righteousness? Our independence? And then John gives them a metaphor, imagery, to help them understand. And he uses this metaphor of a winnowing fork, which you may be familiar with. It's sort of like a pitchfork. A pitchfork like you see in that American Gothic painting. A pitchfork is sort of like a pitchfork, a little bit different. And what they would do, and of course, being a culture of agriculture, they would all be familiar with this imagery, right? So imagining they got a pitchfork, and he said, he's got the winnowing fork. So Jesus has a fork in his hand. He's going to take the grain, and they would stick it in the pile of grain, and they would throw it up in the air, and the wind would carry away the bad stuff. The heavy, the good stuff would fall back down to the ground. The dead stuff would fall off, the husks would blow away. And so only the good stuff would be left. This is how they would, now we have machines that do this, right? But we still have to do it. So they would have these forks and they would do that. The good stuff would fall back to the ground. So John's saying, so this person who is coming, who is greater than I am, for all of you who are thinking I'm the Messiah, someone else is coming, and he's ready. And he has a fork in his hand to separate the good from the bad. Now, I think there's an important distinction to make here. Because, you see, I don't think that John was talking about separating people. I don't think John was talking about separating, that Jesus had this winnowing fork, that we were going to separate the good people from the bad people. No, I believe that John is saying that the baptism that Jesus will bring begins the process of allowing Jesus to cleanse and to separate the good from the bad in us. I kind of had this imagery of just bouncing around on the fork, but Jesus is like, get out, you bad parts. I believe that John is saying that Jesus has the winnowing fork and he's coming to separate the good stuff in you from the unusable stuff in you. The chaff, the unusable stuff, is what's going to get burned up. And it's in this idea of baptism. So today we celebrate the baptism of our Lord. And it's in this idea, the waters of baptism, that we get this new life in Jesus. In our tradition, there are two main sacraments. There's the sacrament of baptism, which we remember and celebrate today. And there's the sacrament of Eucharist or communion, the Lord's Supper, which we celebrate on Sundays. But it's important, I think, to remember that Jesus didn't come to get baptized because Jesus had sinned. Right? John is calling people to come and get baptized to repent. John is saying, return back to God. Remember who formed you, who created you. But Jesus was not a sinner. Jesus had not sinned. So he wasn't getting baptized to cleanse him from sin. And he wasn't getting like a coronation to become a king. And in fact, in one gospel reading, John says, no, Jesus, when Jesus comes to get baptized, he says, I should be the one getting baptized by you. And Jesus is like, we got to do this, man. There's a bishop, Bishop Maximus of Turin. He was in the 4th and 5th centuries, right? So a long time ago, spreading Christianity. He says this, Christ is baptized, not to be made holy by water, but to make the water holy. You see, early Christians referred to baptism by water as an enlightenment. And that all of a sudden that there would be an enlightenment that would happen. And now that's a helpful understanding to a degree. Because you see, baptism is not a moment. The ritual happens in a moment. But you see, baptism is not only a momentary experience. It is a lifelong commitment of growth. You see, baptism is the beginning of the journey, not the end. Baptism, understanding as God's anointing, God's commissioning us into service. When we choose to be baptized, or when someone chooses for us to be baptized, they are saying, we know Jesus. We seek to follow Jesus. We want to be more like Jesus. Now, on my way to church this morning, I had the radio on. And how many of you are familiar with the Doobie Brothers? I love that, you know, Doobie Brothers. Well, they have this great song called Jesus is Just All Right. Right? Now, the commentator, the radio host, after the show, he says, now, what does it mean to just be all right? He says, well, it means, Jesus, you're pretty cool. Well, there's this one chorus that they have, and it goes like that. Like, when we desire to be baptized, or we baptize someone, or on behalf, like, say we bring an infant and say we want to baptize this baby, we're saying, just like they did, like, Jesus! He's my friend. Jesus. He's my friend. He took me by the hand, led me to another land. Jesus is my friend. So when we are called to be baptized, that's the story we are telling ourselves and the story we are telling others. That's it. Jesus is my friend. And then we are called to pass this lifeline that it becomes to other people. This, my friends, is evangelism. It's an invitation for other people. When we invite people to come and see who this person Jesus is. And this is good news. As theologian Sally McFaig, I love the way she said it, the way she said, this is good news, right? Because the thing is in baptism, it's not an accomplished thing. Like, we get baptized and we get marked as Christ's own forever. But again, that's just the beginning. And it's an invitation. Baptism is an invitation. It's an invitation for us to decide to live differently, right? And the invitation, it isn't a matter of our intellect or even our will, but it's a matter of the heart. It's an alternative. It's an alternative to all those things in the world that tell us who we are, who we belong to, what we need to be worthy. And so as those who are baptized, we are called into ministry. We are called to share the truth of living a life in Jesus. And one might ask, well, why does it matter? If the moment of baptism is an automatic transformation into a new life, why does it even matter? It's a symbol. It's a mark of something happening inside. You see, life on earth must have water. Water sustains life. Water is also dangerous. Just the other day, I was getting alerts on my phone about riptides and high surf. And how many of us through the course of our life could ever say that we felt like we were drowning? Hopefully, not literally, but figuratively. Just trying to keep our head above water. It's in baptism that we're reminded that the promise that God made in Isaiah, which we heard from this morning, that it's through all the dangers of life that God is with us. The water is symbolic of the chaos and the dangers of life. And in the chaos of the water is when we go down and we die to that chaos and we come out on the other side new. God is with us, not waiting for us on the other side, but God is with us through the chaos. God will lead us to the other side, not out of it, as many of us have learned in our time here on earth, but through it. And it's through the water and the fire that we continue to be formed. So why does it matter? Well, in a troubled world, in the midst of chaos, I believe that Jesus has the answers. Jesus has the answers to some of our most pressing and difficult questions. Who am I? You are my child, my beloved. With you, I am well pleased. Where do I belong? You belong to God. And you are worthy. Amen.